invite the rest of you to turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We touched on Romans chapter 6, verse 23 last week, as it was at the end of our text. But this morning I wanted to return to it and to spend time dwelling upon one of the most quoted and known and memorized verses in all of the Bible. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Father, we ask this morning, Lord, that you would break hearts of stone. I do not know for sure, but I am quite confident that there are people in this room who have not trusted in Christ as their Lord and Savior. Would today be the day of their salvation? Would you work in their hearts the power of the gospel? Would they come to taste and see that the Lord Jesus Christ is good? There is no compare. That he gives water, spiritual water, that we may never thirst again. That he is the bread of life, that we may never hunger again. That forgiveness and peace and joy and salvation and hope and trust and rest are found in Jesus and Jesus alone. Lord, I pray as your word is preached this morning, as there are many in this room who do know Christ as their Lord and Savior, would they come to glory even more so in the salvation that is found in him? Would the gospel never, ever grow stale or cold? But rather, as your mercies are new every morning, would the gospel be new and fresh to us each day that we live, that we would come to it rejoicing to hear it heralded. And your name lifted up. Would you be glorified today through this time? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away. And no place was found for them. I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Later on in Revelation, we read, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life." I just read this. I'm sorry. I copy-pasted the wrong one twice. I'm going to turn in my Bible now. I'm away from my notes. Revelation, we turn to the next chapter. I'm sorry, that is Revelation 20, chapter 21. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God and made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I'm making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving, and abominable and murderous and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We have just read, very sober on one hand, and very joyful on the other hand, account. An account which will take place. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and end, and he has spoken this, that this will take place. That the unbelieving will be cast into eternal fire. But those who have come to Christ to drink of the living water will have God dwell with them. And he shall be their God, and they shall be his people. And he will wipe away every tear, every sorrow, every sickness, every pain. There will be no middle. There will be no purgatory. There will be none who are sent to eternal fire and come out. There is no straddling the fence. You have either tasted of the living water of Jesus Christ, or you are headed to eternal damnation in hell. Romans 6:23 says, The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The word wages is maybe a little out of date for our culture. The terms we use, we could say simply the payment or salary, in a sense. You could say the salary of our sin. It's that which is fitting to receive for the actions performed. There have been times when maybe you have done a job and you hadn't really talked about a price with the person who hired you to do the job, and you finish doing the job and you go to your boss at that time and you receive payment for that which you did, and you look at the job you just did and you look at the bill that they just handed you and you would say, this is not the wages that I would have agreed to. It's way below. Maybe there have been other times where you have gone and done a job and the person comes and pays you and they pay you far and above and beyond that which you thought your job was worth or that you know your job was worth. And you say, no, I can't take this. And you seek to hand it back, but they say, no, this, I want you to have this. The wages of our sin is neither too little nor too great, but completely and utterly fitting for the sinners that we are. The wages that we deserve for our, first of all, we note, sin. Sin is whenever we have missed the mark. In some, we could say this, doing anything which stands in contradiction to God's word, or not doing anything which God's word commands us to do. There are sins of commission and sins of omission. Do not murder, and you murder, that's a sin of commission. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and strength and might, all your soul, but you do not do so, that is a sin of omission. The wages of our sin. We are all guilty. Every single one of us in this room, every single person who has walked upon this earth is guilty of sin. It does not matter if you've sinned one time or a million times or a trillion times. The issue is that you have sinned against an infinite, almighty, eternal, holy God. The wages of sin is death. Yes, there is a physical death which takes place in all humans because of sin. But it goes so much deeper than that. More importantly, this death for sin is separation from God. Adam and Eve were promised that they would die if they ate of the fruit. They did so, and what happened to their relationship with God? They were cast out of the garden, separated from the holy God because of their sinful decision. We have separation from God. And this is a rightful punishment. Many of you have probably heard this illustration before. Let's say we're gathered together Wednesday night at my house, like we normally are for a community group. And Nora gets her coffee, like normal. And she sits down on the couch, like normal, on her normal spot, right next to me, on my chair. Just so you know, that's my chair. You don't sit there, all right? And as Nora is asking a question, she swings her arm and knocks her coffee over onto our beautiful $60 Amazon rug in our living room. The consequences aren't that great. It's a cheap rug. Now let's put Nora in the White House, or better yet, the castle over in London. And she's sitting down and having tea with the Queen. And they're seated over a priceless Persian handmade rug. And she spills her drink and stains and ruins that. Slightly higher consequences? Yeah. What if Robert got tired of me teasing him from the pulpit and ran up here and punched me? Major consequences? No. But what if earlier on this week, as President Trump was speaking at the Sanctity of Life Walk, the pro-life walk, and Robert ran up on the stage and punched President Trump. Higher consequences? Yeah. Infinitely more. Infinitely more. Are the wages of our sin. Because it's not about you, or even that which you have done. It's about your transgression against who? God Almighty. Therefore, the wages, the fitting payment for your sin is eternal damnation. Because you have sinned against an eternal, loving, gracious, infinite God. This is the bad news. Maybe you're thinking, well, aren't you overplaying that a little? Romans tells us that the law silences men. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, soul. Worship nothing other than Him. Who's guilty of breaking that commandment? honor the Lord your God by keeping his name in a reverent manner. Who here has ever taken the Lord's name in vain? Do not lie. Who here in this room has ever lied? Do not commit adultery. God says, Jesus says, anybody who looks upon another to lust has committed adultery of the heart. Who here in this room has committed adultery? Do not covet. Who here in this room has coveted? Do not steal. Who here in this room has ever taken something that did not belong to them? Do not commit murder. But Jesus said, if you look upon a brother or sister in hatred, you've committed murder of the heart. Who in this room is a murderer? And the answer is this, every single one of us, without exception. Every single one of us, without exception, are deserving of our wages, the wages which we deserve, which is eternal separation from God, which takes place in one location, the eternal fire. A place that the Bible describes, the worm does not die. You might think that seems like an odd statement. Have you ever been out after heavy rain? What's all over the sidewalk? Dead worms. Worms die really easily. The scripture describes hell as a place where the worms don't die. In other words, what's the point that's getting across? The eternal lake is an eternal place where sinners will spend eternity. That is the nature of our punishment. But praise be to God, the verse does not end there. The verse continues on and it says, but in contrast, this one three-letter word, I believe in the Greek it would be a two-letter day, D-E, in the equivalent of our language, day. But hold on a minute. The story doesn't end there. Praise God. Praise God. The free. In other words, this is completely free. One cannot pay for something which is free. It cannot be paid for by anything but the wages. The free what? Gift. This will piggyback on the idea of free, but it emphasizes it. It shows us something which no one can earn. It can only simply be received from the giver. As soon as a giver seeks to put upon a gift bondage, all right, or rules, all right, I mean, even you think about it, we have it so twisted in our culture, those who would say, oh, well, listen, if you're good this year, Santa will bring you presents. He will bring you gifts. As soon as you say that, it's no longer a gift. It's earned by your obedience. A gift is something that is given completely without strings attached, freely. But the free gift, who is this gift from? God. The free gift of God. He is the giver. He is the maker of this gift. None other than our loving Creator has the right to give this gift. The very one whom deals out punishment for our rebellion gives a gift, a free gift. And it is forgiveness of our sin. I think I live in a righteous rage against false religions. Religions that would dare have the audacity to step up and in a man-made way say salvation is by anything other than the name of Jesus. Salvation is God's gift to give. Not the Pope's, not Buddha's, not Muhammad's, not yours. Salvation comes by one name, the name of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness for our offense to God Almighty can only be given by one being, God Almighty, the one whom we've offended. How dare anybody stand up and say, do this or do that, and you can have forgiveness with God. There will be great punishment for such statements. The free gift of God is what? It's eternal life. Catch this. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. What has happened here is the punishment for your sin in this gift is what? Removed. In order for somebody to have eternal life, then surely they will not face what? Death. And what's the punishment for your sins? Death. So in the free gift of God, obviously, logically, then there must be what? Forgiveness of the punishment of your sins. So, let us ask ourselves, what is the way in which God is able to give the free gift of eternal life? Could it really actually be free? Someone, somewhere, at some point, and you've all heard this, I don't know if anybody actually could be lay claim to coming up with the statement, but you could always say there's no free lunch. There's never actually free lunch, right? Somebody has to pay for it. So one could go out to eat, they find a hair in their food, and the waiter or waitress tells them that their meals will be free, right? Meaning, not that actually their meals are free, but that they don't have to pay for it. So, you could say, the restaurant had to buy the food which was served in the first place. Not to mention, though, they had to pay the servers and the cooks and the electric bill. But what if the food was donated by local farmers? Is now the lunch free? No. The farmers don't pay, get paid. So they pay by not charging for their hard-earned goods. There is no free lunch. How can God's word say the free gift of God is eternal life? One may ask, with God, is it so? He owns all. He can grant forgiveness freely. Surely there is no cost. You could say God could simply take our sins and wipe them under the rug. No, He cannot. No, He cannot. On the contrary, God is not only loving, gracious, merciful, and kind, though He certainly is all of those things. But He's also just and holy and altogether upright. He cannot merely throw our sins underneath a rug any more than a just judge can excuse Hitler for murder. Yes, our salvation comes free to us, but it was not free to God. Our salvation was bought at the precious, incomparable cost of the blood of God eternal, the Son, in human flesh. We find this free gift of God, which is eternal life, is found in whom? In Christ Jesus. We run to Him and Him alone. The name Christ, we mentioned this very briefly last week, the name Christ is Messiah. He is the Mashiach, the promised one who would come. We have no other claim to salvation other than through His name. God is the giver of the free gift of salvation. He has chosen the means by which man can be saved, and He has accomplished that which would be done. It is of the most prideful and audacious claims for man to ever lay claim to being able to earn that salvation which is found only through the chosen one of God. Maybe you have spent your life thinking, I'm good enough for heaven. I've had enough religion for heaven. I'm not bad enough for hell, so therefore I must be good enough for heaven. You are deceived. The wages of your sin is eternal damnation and separation from God. But there is hope. The free gift of God is eternal life found in Jesus, the Messiah. John chapter 6, Jesus said to the 12, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" Simon Peter answered him rightly and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Acts 4:12, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name given in heaven among men by which we must be saved." Colossians 2, "Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us of all our sins, our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Galatians 3, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs upon a tree." He is the Christ, the chosen one, the one who went to the cross to pay for your sin. He is our Lord. He is our head, the one we look up to, our master. He is, as Scripture declares, that the one whom one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. I'm going to go right back to where we started in this message. In Revelation, there will be those who bow and confess too late and will be sent to eternal fire. The question is, which side will you be on? Will you be on the side that is too late and eternally damned? Or will you be the one worshiping in sweet adoration because you already knew him and confessed him as Lord and Savior? My plea this morning to each individual in this room is, do not delay. The wages of your sin is death. But God is loving and gracious. And God eternal, the Son, took on human flesh. The Word became flesh and he dwelt among us. And that man, the Son, Jesus Christ, the chosen one, he lived the absolutely perfect life that you could never live. Question, if the wages of sin is death, then Jesus, having never sinned, should he have died? No. And yet he allowed himself to be crucified, not paying the punishment of his sins, for he had none, but paying the punishment for the sin of the world. And therefore, we have a free gift of salvation, of eternal life, with God eternal, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus was beaten. He was spat upon. He was mocked. He was scourged. He had the flesh of his back ripped off through chunks of bone and pottery and rock. He was nailed through his hands and his feet to a rugged old cross, hoisted up to suffocate, naked, to be laughed at and scorned, having a crown of thorns pounded into his skull. If you walk away and ignore the sacrifice of Jesus, you might as well be one of those soldiers who hoisted him upon that cross. You might as well stand up and slap him in the face and spit upon his bloodied brow. For you're saying, I don't need it. I don't need or want the salvation that you accomplished through your wretched, painful, awful sacrifice. Today is the day of salvation. Turn from your sins. Trust in the Savior. Do not revile him. Do not ignore him. Do not go another day in your sin. Trust in the sweet name of Jesus Christ. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that eternal life is found in none other than him. Lord, work in people's hearts today. When they turn to Savior, to the Savior for their salvation. There is no other name found in heaven or earth in which salvation is found, but the name of Jesus. Lord, would today be the day of people's salvation here in this room? Lord, would they taste and see that the Lord is good? And Father, I thank you for each one in this room who has come to know Jesus already, that we would rejoice in the great love and salvation that we have in him. May we live for him and his glory. In Jesus' name.